Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heaven is listening. Praise the Lord. Angels are watching. Praise the Lord. Isn't He wonderful? He's loving us. He's caring about us. He's with us. He's in us. He's for us. He's fighting for us. He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and taken us to the kingdom of light. Do you know who you are for Him? Very simple. I'm reading from First Epistle of Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. Do you see yourself like that? You are now in this marvelous light. His. It's not from the world. It's from the Lord. He wants you to always remember that you are royal. How could you be not royal when your father is the King of Kings? I mean, even in the physical, you know, on earth, we know, well, Queen Elizabeth and, of course, Prince Charles. Why not you? You know, can you call your brother or sister around High Prince or High Princess? Please greet each other like that. Can you do it now? Just greet one another. Just say, Hi, Princess, how are you? Hi, Prince, how are you? But you are. This is what God said. It's not me. You know, He said who you are, a royal priesthood. So if you see, you know, one another, just agree to, hey, princess, how are you today? You know, it seems so strange to say it, but you know, it should be very normal. Because even the angels, they know that. And by the way, also the other angels. And they tremble. So let us just thank the Lord that He's here tonight. So, what am I going to talk about? I have nothing to talk about. That's good. I asked the Lord, you know, what should I say? He said, well, just be there, you know, and I will talk. So, He's going to talk to you, you know. So, we thank the Lord, you know. Lord God, Almighty Father, we thank you, Lord, that You have taken us from the kingdom of darkness, Lord. You have taken us to Yourself, Lord, where there is light, eternal light, Lord. We thank You that You have chosen us, Lord, making us literally a chosen generation, Lord. We should be very special in the world, and we should change the world around us. We thank You, Lord, that Jesus died for us on the cross, Lord, so we could be reconciled to You, Father. There is no enmity between us and You, Lord. There is only love flowing from Your throne, Lord, to us and from us to our enemies, Lord. So the world could be changed by Your grace, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You have chosen us to be like that. You have made us a special people, Your witnesses, prince, princes, everywhere, going, and You are doing miracles with them. I thank You, Lord, that I accepted what Jesus offered me, salvation, Lord. But I also wanted Him to be my Lord and my Master. I want just to serve Him, Lord. I want to live just for, you know, His will, to be a good witness in this world. I thank the Lord that He made us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You are more than conquerors. You are soldiers of Christ. But you are soldiers of victory because Jesus won the victory for you once and for all. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord that He is good. Sometimes, you know, I am so shocked by His goodness, you know. I see. A dead man walking, he knows that God is good. I am sure Lazarus, he thinks that, and he knows, and he can confess to people that Jesus is good. He's a good man, you know. You see, he just pulled me out, you know, from the mouth of death to life. Who can say that about himself? Oh, hallelujah. So, yes, it's me also, you know. I will be talking maybe tomorrow about a different subject, you know. Drawing near, you know. And the Bible is telling us that we need to draw near to God. You see, drawing near to God sometimes seems very difficult. Because when you are busy in many things in your life, you know, you are drawing far away from the Lord, you know. And of course, we forget always to pray without ceasing. And our prayer is very simple, just to call on the name of the Lord. You know, that's what the priests do. They only call on the name of the Lord, and suddenly, and we're going to talk about it, suddenly there was fire coming from heaven, you know, and consuming the offering. The offering could be a song in your heart, you know, to worship the Lord. It is something there. You just want to say, hey, Jesus, I love you. You are so good to me. You know, I don't know how to do it. Do you know they do that in the Orient? Sometimes when you are angry, you just make these gestures, expressing your feeling. You cannot express it with words. So what you do? And I love in Africa, you know, how they dance, you know. In the presence of the Lord, I love it, you know. They get mad, literally, you know. Mad for Jesus. I think Paul said the same, right? He's crazy for Jesus, you know. Are you crazy for Jesus? Are you willing to go now on the street here in Landrum, you know, and just literally say, Jesus, Jesus. Can you do it? Really? Oh, a challenge. Hallelujah. I think, Pastor, I think it's finished. We'll go out now, you know. I am the first, you know. Hallelujah. It's not me, you know. The Spirit is literally pulling me. You know? I would love to do it, you know. So drawing near, you know. Abraham drew near to God. You know, we were talking about Abraham yesterday. And the Lord wants his people to draw near to him. Drawing near to him is just to remember his goodness, to remember that he's a holy God and he wants us to be holy like him. He wants us just to be perfect. And the good thing that he just told Abraham, hey, just be perfect and everything I'll give you. Being perfect, of course, is very easy, you know. It is, if you let the Spirit work through, you know. I love it when, you know, I read in the Bible that the Lord has chosen us before the foundation of the earth, you know. He did everything for us, and then he called us. You know, he sanctified us, you know. He glorified us. It's all in the past tense. Do you know that you are glorified, you know, in the eternal before the creation of the earth? It's written in the Bible, you know. You might, if you know your Bible, you can tell me where, you know. Yes, the Lord did all of that. And he just told, you know, Abraham, hey, be perfect, you know. And you know what? The amazing thing that Abraham, in his innocence, he was talking to God. He was so faithful that because of him that we are gathered here today. God wants us to draw near because we love him and not because we are obliged to. Some people, they think that I must pray. No, no. It's a prayer. It's a privilege. I want you to imagine you are invited to meet the King of Kings. So drawing near to God, the reality, is bringing you to a higher ground. You were nobody, and suddenly you are sitting beside the King of Kings. So are you willing to draw near? Well, not me. I have something to do tonight. Somebody will say, well, maybe tomorrow. But the problem is the invitation is always, sometimes, is limited. You know? Special, you know, invitation is just for tonight. We have tonight from 7 to 12. Sorry, Pastor. This is... It's like that, you know. And the Lord is inviting you now. You know, I always love to, you know, remember Joshua and what he says. It's today you decide which God you want to serve, today. And this is for the logo for my family, you know. We decided to serve the Lord, you know. So problem is, are you willing now to draw near to God? How near you want to be? Watch out, this is a trap, because I'm going to talk about fire now, okay? So if you want to draw near to God, you're going to really sense who he is. But the Lord, he said, watch out. I will be reading from Isaiah 29:13, and it is terrifying because though he has chosen, you know, these people, he made them to royal priesthood. And in Exodus, a reality, he's talking about that, you know. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, you see. Just keep it, please, keep it. Yeah, good, great. And a holy nation, a holy nation. And you know what? Look what God is telling them now in Isaiah 29:13. You know. You see, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. You see, you cannot come to the Lord only to say, oh, Jesus, Jesus. When you say it, you have to mean it. If you don't mean what you say, you will not experience his power. He's going to show you what he can do. And trust me, you know, the Lord is terrible in his goodness. It's terrible to your enemies. He's terrible to those who pretend to be holy, but they are holy, which means they have holes in them. So the spirit cannot stay there. They are just like sieves, you know, you pour the water, is going through. You have to be holy as he's holy. He wanted to come near to him because he wants to give you something. Don't tell him, Lord, Lord, but in daily life you are far away from him. Isaiah, when he put it, he was a man, literally, he encountered God once and he fell down on his face like dead. Trust me, when you draw nearer to God, you will see, even in your flesh, the power of his goodness, the power of his holiness. Oh, I am a filthy man, he felt. That's what Isaiah felt, you know. He's a man of God, you know, but still he felt a man of, who am I? You know, my lips are dirty, my mouth speaking maybe false words. And we are far away from God. We are not, you know. You see, I say many a believer, and you born a Christian, you know, are chained today with the traditions and rules of leaders and denominations. They forgot that they were loved by God and bought with the blood of Christ. You don't need to think that you have any obligation towards God. But because he loved you so much and gave you his own life, then come near to him like daddy. Some denominations make it like it's terrible a crime to come near God. I mean, why? He's my father. If my father, why should I not come near to him? You don't need to listen to man. Listen to God. Before going in fire, so I want to just mention something. And I mean really in fire. Can we start with fire? Genesis, you know, 15, 12. But before that, let me tell you something. We from ICOM. ICOM is stand for, it's we play with the word ICOM. Jesus said, I come, you know, again. And I come stand for International Christian Outreach Ministry. We are reaching, literally, in the beginning for Muslims worldwide to bring them to Christ. And the Lord gave us a great harvest, you know. So we're working in all Muslim countries worldwide. And we had a great harvest, and the harvest is continuing. You know the news, you hear it every day, maybe. Like in Iran, for example, we have, since the mullahs took control, you know, 3 million plus Muslims left Islam and converted to Christianity. They accepted Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise. Hallelujah. I love it because they say also hallelujah like me. You know, that's good. So we work there. We work, of course, to help the Christians in Iraq. Our mission house is a reality in Iraq, and we work there. We were helping when ISIS attacked, you know. And we go literally to our enemies. You know how we were bombarding ISIS when they were killing our people, crucifying our children, destroying our churches? You would be shocked. We had the prayer brigade. So we used to go 24/7, you know, teams, and we pray. We go near the border where they control the area, and they controlled one third of Iraq, ancient Nineveh, where Jonah the prophet was, you know, it was in their hands. They were their capital. And so we were bombarded them with the prayers. I want you to imagine they are killing our children, and we literally, they can hear us. Between us and them, it's just nothing. Just a river, a small river. And we said, Jesus loves you, you know. And they shoot, you know. Now and then you see the snipers, they answer back literally with fiery, you know, darts. You know, they try to. But we're well protected also by the Lord. And you know what? This prayer brigade prevailed. And ISIS today, no more. Hallelujah. Oh. The Lord is doing something, I believe. You know? He wants me to go away from it. So, I am reading to you from Genesis 15, 12. He said, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. A low and horror of a great darkness fell upon him. The Lord is going to do something. He was drawing nearer to God, somehow being a holy man of God, just thinking about God, though he's thinking, well, where are my children that he promised me? But still he was drawing nearer to God. So the Lord let this look horror of a great darkness fell upon him. Many people, they think that when I come to God, I will see only light. Yes, you will, because he's light, you know. But don't forget, you know, he's a burning fire, you know. And so he wanted to show him first, who am I? That's why the Israelites, they know who is Yahweh, you know that? They know him because he is this burning fire. So every Israelite know who is God. Our God is a burning fire, you know. And other gods, they try to put fire. They try to build altars and start fire. But this is different. We'll talk later about how God is sending fire from heaven. How he is coming in fire. And of course, how he is breathing fire. I hope he will not breathe, you know, at your back, just to remind me that I am here. You forgot about me because of your busyness. Sometimes we are busy. So, a sleep fall upon him, and the Lord let him see things. That's why Abraham humble. Moses, of course, more humble. And we continue, you know, 15, 17 said, again, here I'm talking about burning holy fire. The Lord going to do something, going to make a covenant with you and me through fire. And that's what he made a reality. He started by burning these offering that he gave. The offering, they were only so God can show him who he is. And there was a be'ereth, they call it. Be'ereth, which means a covenant. And at that day, God made a covenant. In Hebrew, they say that he made a covenant with Abraham. That everything that he promised, it will be. And it is. You know, strange enough, until this day, we always talk about the covenant of God with Abraham. And it is a reality. We have the nation of Israel. We have the covenant with Israel. We belong to Abraham because we are his children by adoption. We can call Father Abba like they were calling him Abba. Abba Father, right? We can do it. And why? Because this, the covenant, this fire that came in, you see, that's God sent fire later, and he burned those offerings that Abraham had prepared. Do you know how God made a covenant with Abraham? He just told him to bring a dove, to bring this, and cut them and put them. And then when he buried him in this great darkness, this horror, because you cannot see God in action. If you can see God in action, there will be a reaction. The reaction that you will just vanish. You cannot see God. But he had to show him something. So Abraham, let us say, will be perfect. I wanted to imagine, you know, Abraham, he did not watch, but I wanted to imagine he saw what happened, that how this fire went there and burned everything, purified everything. And then exactly it's written, in that day, God made a covenant with him. So the covenant with God is a relative covenant of fire. And this is for you and me. And fire, that's why later, you know, in Pentecost, what did we receive? Fire. You see, and Jesus, he's baptizing with the Holy Spirit and fire. Oh, how many of you are literally baptized with fire? Tonight, the Lord, he promised, he is fire. I'm talking only about fire. You know? Tonight, receive from the Lord something special to understand the holy fire. The Lord want to give you something very special. You know, we are going slowly but surely. In Genesis 17:1, look what we hear. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. We're singing about Almighty God, right? That was Jesus, you know. This is in the Hebrew Al Shaddai, right? Walk before me and be thou perfect. See. And if we go to 19:24, we're going to talk about here the consuming fire. Can we go to 19:24? Consuming fire. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, a brimstone and fire from the Lord went of heaven. Heaven is not only taking you from darkness to light. Heaven could also do something different. If you are not walking upright, if you are literally rejecting the rules of the King of Kings. And as we said, you know, even on earth, we have kingdoms, we have countries, they have their rules. And you are in the kingdom of His beautiful, marvelous rights, right? And in this kingdom, we have rules. And these rules telling you also, if you are not pure, I could purify you. Or I can consume you. Of course, you know. Yes, this is the reality. Look in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. Do you know that nobody was saved? Not one, which means they were not pure, right? The Lord took only those of you who were not pure, but somehow they know him. So he warned them in advance, and the angels pulled them out. Please don't look back. You know what will happen, right? The ways of God are amazing. And Abraham was haggling with God. You know, in the Orient, until the day they haggle, you know. How much? If he tells me dollar, I don't buy it. I cannot give him dollar. I have to haggle with him until he just drops even 1 cent. In Jesus' time, they were doing it. In Abraham's time, they were doing it. And until this day in the Orient, they do. So Abraham was haggling with God. If there is a possibility, if we have just 10 righteous men there, you want to consume everybody, what about those 10 right? And the Lord told him, you know what, Abraham? You know, you are my friend, I know, but there is no one. This is dangerous when you are in this consuming fire of God. Because literally, you will be erased, you will be remembered in the, you know, history book as Sodom and Gomorrah, where the Lord sent what fire from heaven. We have different kind of fire, you know. When I read about this consuming fire, I was there. And trust me, if you go today, you can smell the sulfur from far away. Pastor, are you willing to come? We go to Jordan, we don't go to Iraq. So we can take you there, you know, just short tours. You go to the Dead Sea. And then you just cross over, and you can smell it. And you know what? We have a picture and even a video. There is the pillar of salt, and people, they tell you, oh, this is the wife of Lot. Until this day, Muslim, they will tell you that. You go, you see a figure like, somehow like a woman, but it's still standing there. Maybe 5 years, 3,500, 5,000, 10,000 years. Can we remember the date? She is there. The consuming fire is there to consume. The consuming fire is there to show you that if you are not holy, it's not to threaten you. It's only to show you. The rules are there to be followed. You know, and we say, if you don't break the rules, they don't apply to you, right? Rules are for rules breaker, right? Yeah, it's not if you keep them, so they are not there. That's why we don't care about the law, because we fulfill it by the power of the Holy Spirit. We respect the law. We love it. It's the law of God. It's perfect. But it doesn't affect us. The Spirit is guiding us step by step and taking us. I am glad that I was not in Sodom or Gomorrah. At least I visited them after the visit of God. Sorry, the fiery visit of God, you know. He is the Lord. He consumed them. But we have something also else, you know, that the Lord also is showing us that he could be fire, but not a consuming fire. If we read, for example, what happened, you know, to Moses. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, I'm going through these fires for a reason, because I'm coming to the end later. So to connect you to the source of fire. I know you are connected, but I asked him just to increase, you know, the fire. So you'd have literally burning fire in your heart, as the pastor read it yesterday. If you have a burning fire in your heart to reach out to somebody, just go out, shout it out, do it. And then you see here, Moses was just walking. And I will be asking Brother Tim later to come to me maybe, because we were talking about that, you know. He was walking. And I want you to imagine an old man on the run. You see, he was a prince, you know, sitting nearly at the throne with Pharaoh. And then he's nobody, just he has some goats with him. And then he just saw, you know, this burning bush. You know, just you walk and you stop. And he wanted to continue, but he noticed something not right, and please, this is for you tonight. If you notice there is something not right, it's not fitting somehow in your schedule, it's not fitting in your routine, this is where God is at work. He's always there when you don't expect him. Do you think Moses ever thought that God would be in that burning bush? But you realize that when he came nearer, suddenly there was a voice, hey, watch out, Mr. Big, where are you going? Take off your shoes, you are on holy ground, you know. So he realized, oh, this is the God of Israel, because he is the only holy one. That's why we sing holy, holy. Huh? Oh, you Lord God Almighty, right? You sing it, holy. And then he just immediately, this is what I love with my Heavenly Father. He loves you, but he reprimands you out of love. He doesn't want you to do something sacrilegious. You don't go on a holy ground. You see, so Moses had this encounter, but he just saw, this is what we call it, the starter, you know that? You know, in France they call it aperitif, you know, this is something that you start drinking before you eat. They always do that. So Moses, he just got a glimpse of God there. There is a bush burning, but it is not burning. And there he had an encounter with God, the first. Do you think that he had any encounter before with God? Many people will tell you yes, when he was a little baby, you know. God preserved him and presented him to the daughter or the sister of Pharaoh so he could be saved, he could be trained, he could be used for later. Can you imagine God was planning all of that before he was born? That's you, that's me. And he had this special encounter for you. I don't know when did you see your encounter with this bushfire. But I pray that the Lord is going to give it to you tonight as a starter. Because later, the same God, we are going further, you know. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire, you know, ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. This is different kind of fire. It's the same God, but different kind of fire. Here the enemies are consumed, you know. Do you want your God to consume your enemies? or you want to consume by the fire of Christ so you can reach out to them so they could be saved, knowing that the price was paid for you and for them. He died for the whole world, is written. And sometimes we think, I am saved, hallelujah. You are, hallelujah, good, say it. But when you look around and you see darkness, why don't you try to help those people to literally to be also translated, you know, to this wonderful, you know, kingdom of light? You don't want them to be in the kingdom of Christ? I would love, I tell you the truth, you know, if it was in my hand, I would go tomorrow. I would be crazy for Christ, shouting everywhere, you know, hallelujah. There are some people that might say I'm crazy, but I would love to see some of them come and ask me, hey, what are you doing? Are you crazy? And then you can say, yes, I'm crazy for Christ. Crazy for you. I would like to reach out, you know. I know somebody that who saved me, who changed me, who healed me, and I would love to see you, you know, getting to know him. They call him Mr. Jesus Christ, the Lord. And he's a mystery. He's a master, whether you like it or not. The Lord also is a pillar of fire. You see, for his people to remind them that what I appeared once to your father, Abraham, how as fire, right? And he just gave it to Moses. It was not enough because the Israelites always murmuring. You know, they love garlic more than God. And I can understand it. In the Middle East, they eat garlic like chewing gum, you know. Not here, maybe. But I wanted to imagine that he went with them. And we know, according to, you know, Exodus 13, 21, that he was walking before them like a pillar of fire. Okay. Do you see God walking before you as a pillar of fire? Or you are just not aware of his presence? We were singing a beautiful song there telling that he never sleeps, no slumber. He's always at work. Jesus told us, my father's always at work in me too. So if he's at work, which means that he is with you, showing you things, a burning bush here maybe, a pillar of fire in front of you, or sometimes he might show you that your enemies are consumed in front of your eyes. Many, they don't know why the Lord rebuke the disciples when he says, shall we call fire upon them from heaven? Because he is the one who he has the lighter with him, you know that. So I wanted to imagine, he said, oh yes, why not? And then he just snatching it, and the enemies would be consumed. But he was looking at them with the eyes of the loving father, you know, the father of the prodigal son, that who ran away, and he wanted him to come back. So what to do? Just leave it, not now, you know. We'll do it, you know. And I do believe some of those people who were not consumed because of that not called fire, you know, because Jesus shut their mouth up, said, don't do it. I do believe some of those people, maybe they were saved. I believe maybe they are today there and looking at us right now because all the saints, they watch, you know that. They encourage us, you know. Keep on running, keep on running, keep on running. We are keeping the Lord in fire. You see, he's not only causing things to be burned, you know, but also he could be himself in fire. In Exodus 19, 18, it said, and Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Do you want to see your father coming this way? Upon Landrum? Because you know what happened when he came there, you know? He came and few things happened, and one of them, they could hear his voice. The earth was shaken, thunder, fire, fear. The heart of man was afraid, you know. But at that time, something happened that the Lord literally said, look, here, I just give you only these, you know, 10. Do you know that God gave only 10 commandments? He has a reason. And do you know what the Levite did? Do you know how many laws the Israelites had to follow? And I want to warn you about that. Listen to Jesus. Not those who talk about Jesus. Important to listen to him, not about him. Because when you listen to people telling you about Jesus, I tell you about Jesus. I said, he is here. I just connect to the Lord. Just get him. And I'm glad that I love it. Sometimes he will just throw a net over you and he will pull you slowly but surely nearer to himself like a fish. You see here, the Lord appeared and we have the law. And this is the beginning that where God literally was revealing himself to the nations, one nation that he had chosen for himself. And you know what the Israelite did? We know, of course. And one preacher, he told me, brother, you know why they don't see him? They don't believe in him? I don't know. I have maybe 2 years. Oh, yes. So we have some more. He said, because they told the Lord, they told Moses, oh, they'll tell you God, we don't want to hear his voice. I understand. When you see God as a consuming fire, when you see the earth shaking, it's frightening. But if you just flash back and go, say, oh, but he's my father, so nothing would happen to you. And I believe that's exactly why Moses could sit there and talk to the Lord for 40 days. He forgot himself. He was just talking to the Lord for 40 days without eating and drinking, and he did not die. Do you know that? I don't know if you know. It's written in the Bible. Do you know that? He was 40 days not eating, not drinking, just because he was in the presence of life, God. And that life was flowing through him. He did not hunger. He did not thirst. He survived. And he was not consumed. Do you want to be in the presence of the Lord so you could literally fast for 40 days? It's a new diet, you know. They call it maybe Yahweh diet, you know. Yes, you just be in the presence of the Lord. You don't eat, you don't drink, but you don't hunger, you don't thirst, you don't die. And you know what? Jesus reminds us the same. He was fasting also 40 days, you know. Do you know that? Jesus did the same, you know, also 40. And I like the number 40, you know. Yeah. The holy fire of God. What you see, you know, we have an altar of fire. You know, in Leviticus, you know, 1:7, he said, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. You see, these are the tiny things of God. In order. Well, you know, when we go to the camp, you know, when we go on picnics, you just put everything, you start burning, right? But God has an order. He knows why. And I will just jump from here to talk about the ark and how it was built, you know. I wanted to imagine the man was building for 100 years, you know, giving a testimony to everybody that God gave him some instruction and he's doing it and nobody cared. That's why nobody was saved. It's like exactly in Sodom and Gomorrah. And once, you know, I had a bachelor's degree in physics, you know, and I was giving lectures and also in mathematics. So I tried to alter in this measurement that God gave, you know, Noah. And you will be surprised. If you add just 10.01 instead of 10.00, you know what will happen? The ark will not fit. Try to do it. I did it, you know. And that's why when God is giving you something, do it in order. It is not religious, you know, obligation. It is obedience to the Lord. Because he knows. He is the God of heaven. He knows everything. And when he tells you, please go 2 steps to the right, don't go 3. Because, you know, some people try to do it their way, you know, like maybe the sons of Aaron, you know. They just brought some strange fire. And I do believe the pastor knows what happened to them, right? What? They were consumed. So please, this is the love of Christ shown to you in order. And I always read, lay the wood in order upon the fire. So what are you going to do wrong when you put it just there? Because God, he did it in order from the very beginning. And he is the God of order. I mean, even the atheists, when they say, oh, there is no God, but the world is beautiful. The flowers are beautiful. diversified in different ways, you know. Everything seems in order. Look, even when we sit here, we try to put rows, you know, one after. Can you imagine if we have it chaos? I am glad that our God is not the author of confusion. What do you see in this God who is fire? What do you see? Do you think he is calling you or is he frightening you? I want you to understand the Bibles always give you information about God as little children. He cannot give you everything, because if you right now receive literally the full understanding of who God really is, your brain will blow. I know many people really who love Jesus so much and they wanted to come so near to the Lord. And you know what happened? We say they just hang there. They live in heaven, but with their bodies on earth. You know, this is a reality. Because God is so good. And when you go there, and trust me, he is opening his heaven for you every day. But the problem is you are looking at the other direction. You know, as little children, daddy's walking and he's going this direction, but the children looking backward. So they don't see really what is happening, what he's showing them. Every time when the Lord takes you with your hand, you know, I love his ways when he was dealing with the disciples. Oh, just let us go to the other side of, you know, the sea. But why the other side? Why now, you know? Of course, he knows that a storm is coming. So he's going to show them that he could also rebuke the storm, you know, rebuke the wind, and they will obey him. But of course, they were very distressed. He was asleep. You don't care about us. That's what we do with our God. So our God is a God of order. I love also, and I want you please now to take it. There is a verse would be for you, you know. You know, Solomon built an altar for the Lord. Then there are measurements again, you see that? And to remind you, the Lord, he knows why he's giving you this measurement. And then you bring sacrifices and you put it there, you know. And you lay the Lord upon it. You see, and you said, and the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifices and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked out the water that was in the trench. I am reading from 1 Kings 18, 38. You are going to Elijah. You know. Did you notice how the Holy Spirit is very precise to show you how God works, you know? And he said, look what happened. And consume the burnt offering first, and the wood and the stones and the dust and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. But it did not cross it, because it was built according to the rules of the kingdom, because God put it in the heart of Elijah to do it that way. Please, if you want to get to know more about the Lord, he will show you. And you know what happened to Elijah later, right? The Lord took him in a chariot of fire. Why? What about his servant, Elisha? He just took two, you know, double portion, I'd say. But he did not go with chariot of fire. Maybe he's the only one who was taken with chariot of fire, right? In the Bible, nowhere is written that somebody else was taken. Somebody was taken alive before him, right? Enoch. And he was taken off the chariot of fire. What did this tell you about God? What can he do if you are in stress? What can you do if your time is already done? Do you believe that the Lord can come and literally snatch you from the hands of your enemies? Me? Can you? I mean, I can give you my testimony, you know, or the testimony of the work of Jesus in my life. The Lord snatched me from, literally, from the mouth of death many times, you know. You see, my brother was beheaded because his time was done on earth. Mine was not. So the enemies, they cannot do anything. But for me, when I see that the Lord is coming, you know, and taking his beloved Elijah, hey, where are you, Lord? He was crying to the Lord. I am the only one. Of course, he was not the only one. He said, no, I have 100 others there, you know. right? Look how God multiplies. I have 100 others hidden. And later he said, oh, and then still I have 7,000, you know that. You see the multiplication of God. So don't think, sometimes you think that you are abandoned, you are not worthy, but the Lord reminds you who you are. You are a chosen. He has chosen you. So he must keep you going in all ways. He might maybe call those, I don't know, you know. He talk the ravens, you know, they fight even with themselves, you know, about food. And they were feeding him. Come on, just go on the other side of the river, you know, and you will have some food. The river is going to bring you food. You see, this is the same God that he said, all right, Elijah, today I'm going to take you. And of course, his servants follow him, trying to watch everything and while they were talking, you see. And maybe he was talking and just looked somewhere, he's no more there. But the good thing that he snatched, you know, his mantle, you know. Please, if you know some of those servants of the Lord who have the power of the Spirit, that the Lord is using them more than you, that does not mean that he loves them more than you. No. He loves all of us the same because he is love. He cannot change. You cannot increase God or decrease. He's always love. And so you have love in your heart, in your life, everything. And if your sister was used by the Lord for healing, rejoice, and he will give you more. Don't be jealous. Well, I've been serving the Lord for the last 30 years and nothing happened. Of course nothing happened because the Lord, he has a purpose for you. He's going to snatch you at the right moment for a great purpose, greater than you ever imagined. Sometimes we are very, very jealous when one of us is used by the Lord, but not me. You see, you see how me, the self is so strong, so alive. Oh, brother, but why you talk about me? I thought you are dead for self and alive for Christ. Please, if you want to receive this double portion from the Lord, rejoice when your brother or sister are used by the Lord. I don't want to be used by the Lord, you know, every day. I tell you the truth. I want him to use me when he wants to, in his time, in his timing, and for his own purpose. And I wanted to remember, you know, what the Bible tells us. We have stories. We go here and there for a reason, because the Lord wants to speak to some of you differently. I always wondered why this Philip the Evangelist had to be translated. I wanted to imagine, you know, he was sitting here and suddenly he's there. I mean, even he himself, maybe he was wondering. But Lord, I was doing a great job there, you know, thousands of people, you know, being saved and baptized in Judea. It's no problem, because I want to evangelize and save whole Africa through that Enoch, somebody who has maybe no value in the eyes of those people here. So he sent him just for one person, and he encountered him. And I wanted to imagine, suddenly the man is watching as somebody's running beside him, and what is happening? Well, I have this, and I cannot read Arabic, you know. It was in Aramaic, not even in Hebrew, maybe. He said, no problem, it's just this and this and that. Oh, really? Oh, there's water. Why don't you baptize me? And this is good, Pastor. I love it. I thank the Lord yesterday because the gates of heaven were open so people could go through water and enter heaven. Isn't this wonderful? Can you clap this for the Lord, please? Give him hallelujah. That's what happened yesterday. People entered heaven through water. Isn't this wonderful? I love it. So this is exactly what the Lord wants to tell you, you know. I could take you, you know, chariot of fire, yes. I can give you, you know, double portion. I can do it. I am the Lord. It's everything. But in my time, in my time. Rejoice that you are mine. Rejoice that I'm your Lord. Rejoice that you have saved people. Rejoice because you have here an altar of praise. Rejoice. And then let me do my job. I am God. You know, sometimes we try to do it for him. I know many religious people, they try to add to the work of the cross. Of course we should fast 40 days, you know, every year. Where it's written in the Bible. Oh, Jesus did it. You know, Moses and they did it. And why should I care, you know? It is good to know about it, but I don't need to fast 40 days, you know. But some religious, you know, group, they do that. Do you know that? They do it. We fast sometimes, you know, what we call, you know, for example, Daniel's, you know, fast and so on. But some, They try to subjugate you. We have to add something to what Jesus did. What do you want to add to the work of the cross? What? Maybe to fast 3 more days? You could fast. The Lord told you, you can fast and pray. It's all wonderful. But you don't have to do this what people are telling you. I want you just to be there ready to receive from him. 2 Kings 6, and this is for you. Sometimes, as I said, we don't see what God is doing around us. I will be reading 15, 16, and 17 in sequence. And Elisha prayed and said, I'm jumping to 17. Here is the servant of the prophet, you know, just looking around and see, oh, we are encamped. The enemies are all around us. And most of the time, that's what we see. Only our troubles. We don't see our blessing. We don't see the hand of the Lord at work around. We don't see his hand working in our life. We don't see sometimes he is saving us just because he's letting our car break today. We cannot go out. And you are frustrated because the Lord prevented you from dying on this, you know, highway number, this and this and that. Sometimes we forget about that. You see, and here the servant is waking up. Oh, well, look, the enemies are all around us. Look, we have so many troubles. Look, those people talking about, look about those transgender. We rebuke all of that in the name of Jesus. We don't care about that. This is in the world. It is a promise to be in the world. The Lord never promised you a world without trouble. He promised you a reality. In the world, you'll have a tribulation, right? But we rebuke it in the name of it. We take authority. We tremble on it. We call on the name of the Lord. And then he will send fire and will consume them. We should not be occupied by the negative things of the world. We should pray against them or for them, but not occupied. Don't be just like this boy. He's just looking out and seeing the enemies and what they are doing. And I love what the prophet did. And this is for you. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, Yahweh, I pray thee, open his eyes. It's for you. I'm asking the Lord to open your eyes so you can see what he's doing around you. I want you to see these armies, you know, the angels all around surrounding your enemies, surrounding your troubles, surrounding your problems, surrounding your health issues. You see, it's nothing there because the Lord is mightier. You know, and his army is all around protecting you, preparing things for you. Then you can triumph and say, hallelujah, my Jesus is alive. Look what he did. You can come and tell people. I can tell you. My enemies, they took me to kill me. And you know what? He revealed to me that he could punch somebody literally, you know, for me. Jesus could punch somebody. Yes. Because he's defending you. He promised to defend you. So I have a greater revelation about my Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray, oh Lord, tonight, you know, today. I love to call it today because for the Lord is always today. He's the I am. He never was or, you know, he's always now with us. Behold, you know, open his eyes and he saw. I pray that the Lord will open your eyes so you can see where he is at work. You know, where his angels are all around you. Don't think that angels are not there. They are. Jesus was talking always about them. In the Bible, always talking about it. He was sending his angels to fight for it. Daniel was praying and the Lord sending angels, you know, and the enemies are trying to prevent him. But at the end of the day, the Lord prevailed. His angels, you know, as minister and spirit, brought the message and it was done. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. Again, how do you know these are the armies of God? We have fire. See, the enemy tried to imitate to be in the angel of light, but he's always of darkness, and he's always in darkness. You see, I encourage you to remember one thing, that always say what is written in the Bible. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. You have no portion in me. He has no portion in you. You belong to Jesus, bought with his precious blood, and you are here for him to be his witness so you can tell people, I will be jumping to subject that we spoke about yesterday, because in this time the Lord is doing something about rebuilding the temple, rebuilding, you know, the tent or tabernacle of David, because the Lord want to prepare you for his coming. I am not one of those people fearful the Lord might come tomorrow or now, because when you are ready, you are ready. I love those servants when they heard, "Behold, the bridegroom," and you know, everyone was ready, right, Pastor? Were they ready, really? I'm talking about the 10 virgins. "Behold, the bridegroom," and you know what? Everybody was asleep, even those who had the Spirit. All of them, they were asleep. Yes, they had oil, they had this, but they were all asleep. But the good thing that they had the oil so they could run, and the Lord was, of course, you know, standing behind the door watching and said, "Well, let them just run. Let them just, so they can, next time they will watch, you know." And there is no other next time, forget. You know? We will be only in the kingdom with them. So I wanted just to see, you know, how we work with the Lord, you know. In Abraham's time, he was the one working through the altar. So there is restriction, only one. Worshiping the true and living God, you know. By Moses also we have a restriction, because only Moses and the Levi, they were allowed to come there. Only a few of them, they can meet the Lord. And by Solomon temple, you know, it was nearly restricted, because you can come, you know, in the courtyard is for all the nations, and you know, the holy place for the priests, but the Holy of Holies is restricted. Only one man, once a year, he could go there. So, but the good thing about David tent or David tabernacle is that he just literally brought it in the midst of the people. There was no fear that some of them will be struck with lightning or with fire. Everybody can see it. That's exactly why Jesus called or said, "Emmanuel," which means God with us. So God was in the midst of his people. God now in the midst of his people, in his people, we are even having it better. At that time, he is there, you know. We could come maybe as near as we would like to, but many, they were not so sure that they could touch it, because they might get something, you know. But he was there. Everybody can see, you know, the presence of the Lord there. And that's why in our age, in our time, the Lord is going to do something great, you know. He will start kind of revival, real revival in our hearts. Let us understand what he's going to do. He will let us see his presence. That was what David in reality did. Just to bring it here, just leave it here. You see, he did not put it somewhere separated. He got it from their enemies and he put it there. And the Lord is doing this in your country. The Lord is doing it in this church. The Lord wants to show you his presence. Yesterday, he showed his presence. But no, Lord, I don't agree. It's only with that. When I prayed and I asked the Lord, and you promised, literally, you know, baptism of fire. Baptism of fire means that the only one can do the baptism of fire is Jesus. Hallelujah. So the Lord is ready, he's willing to give you this, to prepare you for the final. Because who can survive fire but fire? So you have to be baptized by fire. It's amazing. You don't hear many preachers talking about that, because they are talking about something else, right? About the worries of the world, about the troubles in the world. And I always say, listen, my Lord, he promised me all of these things. So why should I worry? If he promised, it's written in the Bible. I would like to see him, as he promised, touching his people with fire, connecting fire with fire, so you will not be consumed. And then, as vessels of honor, this fire, and you are, every one of you, just you go in the world, and the world will see God in you. This is what he promised in this time. The whole fullness of God will be where? In his people. Whole fullness of God. Like it was in the time of Jesus, the whole fullness of God in him, right? So this is in you. this time not singular, but a plural. So the glory of the Lord, the fire of the Lord will be in you. The Lord going to baptize you in a special way that he literally going to open your eyes to some issues that you don't care about. I have seen it happen in China. These people, look, they are on the ground and they just pray. They are persecuted. They are hated. Some of them, they have nothing to eat, but they are on the ground and praying. Praying for what for? For his fire to consume China and to make it no more communist China, but a Christian China. And I love it start both of them we see. Not communist China, but Christian China. And according to calculations, China could be the greatest Christian nation on earth in 25 years. If the Lord is not coming earlier, you know. We have always to put this if. Because we expect him to come at any moment. He said, I come again, you know. So you have to be ready. So are you willing to receive from the Lord this fire? You want to be baptized by the fire that Jesus is giving you? So you could literally, fire can understand fire, right? I don't know. Sometimes I think people, they don't get me because of my thinking. I don't think, you know, Oriental sometimes I try to shift it. You know, when you are connected, fire connect together. You know, sometimes in the forest there is fire. You know, they try to do it, you know, fighting fire with fire. That's what they do. They start fire somewhere, so this area will be consumed. When the other fire comes, it stops because here there is nothing to consume. And that will be you for Christ. The fire in you going to change your world around you. So when his spirit comes, those who are touched, they will be taken. Those who are not, they are already consumed by you, by the fire through you. Try to get it. Try to ask the Lord so he can give you that. So we are praying for that, you know. We're praying that the Lord will touch every one of you, not only tonight. Tomorrow we have another message. We'll be talking more maybe about the tabernacle or the tent of David. But I want you just to get this. And the Bible tells you, according to Isaiah 45, said, 45. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is a promise from the Lord. All the flesh, listen, all the flesh does not mean believers only. All the flesh, which means everybody, which means your enemy is going to see when the Lord is touching you with holy fire, you know, and literally you stand, but your enemy is going to be consumed. And that's what's written in the Bible. He's going to consume your enemies. You're going to see it with your own eyes. So receive from the Lord this wonderful holy fire. Brother Tim, can you come please for a second? I'm going to pull you in. You are full with fire. So it's just a very small matter, you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just, I will shout. I supposed to fly with my family here together, and we supposed to fly the same day, and then something happened. Ready to fly, and only my ticket was canceled. I mean, you don't know what to do, you know, what am I going to do? You know, it's just canceled, only mine. So this is where God is at work, you know. And then, so what can I do, you know? And a reality, so I helped my family. They flew away. I went back. I was praying, asking the Lord to arrange things. And then they sent me, imagine when my wife flew, I received, you know, that, oh, well, we reissued your ticket. And I did not notice, you know. They put me in a business class. So I did not really know. Later I noticed my wife, a reality, when I took a picture in the plane. So I spent that day praying, reading in the Bible, preparing a few things, sending some reports to our teams worldwide. And then the Lord showed me a vision. It was about fire. You see, I saw this man, you know, and for me it's terrifying. You know, I have never seen a vision like that. It was, yes, the burning bush, But I want you to imagine this burning bush is standing there. There is a hole like here, you know, like somebody standing and there is a hole here. It's all fire. And this man was pulled in, inside. I mean, I was thinking, hey, what is happening? And then he was like taking like stairs, you know, step by step, deeper. Every fire has different work on him, different things going through his head. I cannot tell you anything, but I know only that. And I was praying about it. I said, well, shall I tell him? Shall I not tell him? Then something happened. I visited them, and then, so what did you do that night when I went to leave your house?
So the Lord revealed to me that Salman had a word. The Holy Spirit said, Salman has something for you. But I want to say, worship here. And this relates to the fire. Jesus is the baptizer. John the Baptist was a great man. The Holy Ghost has been having me focus on John the Baptist. All of Israel came out to John the Baptist to be baptized. He had a mighty, massive move in Israel. And they came to him. And John the Baptist proclaimed, I'm nobody. I'm just a voice in the wilderness. See, that's the fire. You know, the Lord, I didn't know what Salman was going to do tonight. The Lord, the Holy Ghost said to me at the house, don't, when you feel the fire, don't hide it. Speak it out. Linda's been telling me that. Don't suppress it. It's him. Jesus is the baptizer in fire. And Pentecost, they received the fire. And it hasn't left. It's here. And I brought up worship. And I know when we're worshiping, I know it. You know it. Everybody is feeling it. I know that. In one level or another. This evening, we were in the cloud. We were in the cloud. We are still. But we talk ourselves out of it. So, Salman, okay. I'm going to just, you guys. It's real. It's real. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's real. And it cleanses. It strengthens you. It propels you. You've heard the expression, the man had a fire in his belly. That's what it is. It's power to do what he has you to do. And it's glorious. So, Salman had a vision of the fire in me. Pastor's got it too, but he keeps it down. It's him. It's him. We all have it. We all have it. It's whether you will recognize. It's yielding. Don't be afraid. Don't squelch it. You know, we become undone because he is so great. We were on our faces tonight. That's the fire. Teresa's got it right now. It's burning her up. Hallelujah. So there's a scripture. There's a scripture. Just let it flow. Let it flow. You can feel it. I know you can. We were under it. We were in it in worship. We were on our faces. There's a scripture. I want to say it's not the opinion of man that's a snare. It's the, what is it? It's a different word, not the opinion. The what? But what I'm trying to say is don't worry about who's to your right and who's to your left when you're worshiping. When nothing matters. It's him, and he's doing a work. He's working in you. He's working in you. He's taking you higher. And the joy is a part of it. It's nothing to be afraid of. It bubbles up. It's like a bubble. Just let it come out. All right, I've talked enough.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I would be finishing, Pastor. Thank you so much. I've been serving the Lord for the last 37 years. You know, and you can tell about what the Lord can do. You know, sometimes the only one, as I said yesterday, who's gonna shut the doors, you know, to the glory of the Lord is you and me. You know, yes, when He opens a door, but He's not invasive. He doesn't want to come without your permission. We know it. He's knocking on, even for His children. You know, so the Lord wants you to receive. He wants you to literally get to know Him better. You can tell me, "I know Jesus," but trust me, the more you know Him, the more you love. You know, I keep falling in love, right? Over and over again, over and over again, right? And this love gets sweeter every day. So I will leave it here, you know, because the Lord is preparing something for you tonight, you know, and you receive it. And tomorrow I pray that the Lord will give you literally. We are talking only about fire, but I want this fire to be literally ignited in you, because you have it. When you have Jesus, when He is God, and God is consuming fire, so whom do you have in you? Fire. Problem, this fire, this is also, it's fire, but it's water, this the living water that are flowing through you to others. See? And I want you to be just like that, you know, just as Brother Tim just said it. Pastor, I thank the Lord that He brought me here, you know. I did not plan it. I did not really think about it, because we have other services and people are calling here and there. We come once a year here. But yes, I experience the presence of the Lord here. I go to some places, and I tell you, even if I have invitation, the Spirit will show me, "Where are you going? Wrong address." I don't go and don't serve there. Once we went, me and my wife, and at the end of the day, we looked at each other and said, she said, "What are we doing here?" Do you feel it? It was very legalistic, very strong, you know, this oppressive spirit. And I stood up, I said, "Gentlemen, I am so sorry. You know, I have to leave you, because the Spirit is prompting me to leave." And I left. I am a gentleman, you know, but before my Lord. I don't care about the feeling of people, though I love them. I care about what my Lord is telling me, because I'm a servant of Christ, not a servant of man. And I come to serve you, to give you. I'm a servant just to give what he bread from his hand to your hand, and you decide to eat it or not. So I thank the Lord in the worship, even the words, even the way, I love it. You know, let me say, I feel home like in Iraq. We worship like that. We do something more sometimes, you know. We jump a bit more. We are more not so restricted. We tell them. We literally encourage them to make noise to the Lord. And first of all, they said, you know, the Lord want to hear you. You know what will happen? Well, it's nothing happening here. They say, hallelujah! And they say, the children, the first one who are going to start doing that. Because it is not normal for God when his children is making noise. What do you think what children do? Noise. You have children, and so you know it. So let me just pray. And my prayer is for you. Just please open your spirit. Let your spirit be free. Let him just receive from the Holy Spirit. It's not for me. You know, I'm a just man, and I speak maybe just no normal words, but my prayer that, oh, Holy Spirit, you know, you are here to give, Lord. You are here to glorify Jesus. Yes, we worship. Yes, we dance, Lord. We're happy, Lord. Yeah, we fell on our knees, Lord, before you. Lord, we read your word, you know, and your word is alive. Yes, Lord, we heard about fire. We might be just surprised when we literally have a real and new encounter of fire with you, oh, love and Father. Lord, you promised Jesus, as your word said, that you're going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I do believe, Lord, you have your people here baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit daily, Lord, taken by the hand daily so they could walk on your ways, so they could be used for your glory, Lord, so they could be used so your kingdom could be expanded, so they could be used that people could be saved, Lord, snatched from the mouth of death, taken from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light for the joy of the Lord and the angels of heaven, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that it is written in your word that Jesus is the one to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, Lord. And your people are willing to receive, Lord. I do believe, Lord, your Holy Spirit is working, purifying the hearts, purifying the mind. Let confession, Lord, between them and you, Lord, slowly but surely cleanse them, Lord. I pray that literally your Holy Spirit is going to give them just a touch of fire so they can know that you are the loving Father despite the fact that you are a consuming Father. Let them just see this glory, Lord, when it appeared and it snatched Elijah, Lord, with the chariot of fire, Lord. It is not theory, Lord. It is reality, Lord. And I see fire in this place, Lord. Touch those hearts who are willing right now in Jesus' holy name. Your holy name, Jesus. Touch them, Lord. Give them, Lord. Let them see your glory because you promised, Lord. Even our enemy is going to see your glory and tremble. But let us see your glory and rejoice, Lord Jesus. Oh, my Lord. Just some hearts are trembling, Lord, because don't fear. The Lord is good. He's gracious and merciful. And he promised you, you know, goodness and mercies will follow you all the days of your heart. Just open your heart, open your spirit. Let your spirit communicate with the Holy Spirit so he can give you that what the Lord promised, Lord. Because he wants you to be with him. He wants you to get to know him. He wants you to see the power that could flow through you and change your world. Lord, I thank you. Because you are willing to give, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is moving, Lord. Touch the heart, change the heart, Lord. Cleanse the mind, Lord. Let confession be one of it, Lord. Yes, we need to confess to be cleansed, Lord, and to be ready to meet you, the Holy One of Israel, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will prove to your people that you are here. You prove to the world that you are here. And we know that you are here, Lord. Help, O Lord, your people, and let them rejoice in your fire, in your sanctification, Lord. Lord, you prepared for them this. You want to glorify them, Lord. Bring them to that moment where they will be like the glorious one, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will give it tonight for everyone who is willing to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.